Welcome to Highly Questionable. I promise I'm going to get something on the wall soon. Izzy Gutierrez, that ain't even really his wall. Mike Golic Jr., all he missing is live, laugh, love. Let's do some television.
Is it time to panic about Team USA?
There they go. I told y'all yesterday how this goes. I told you. Team USA, the most dominant thing that we basically have in international sports coming out of this country, the men's and women's basketball teams. Team USA lose a game or two, and all of a sudden everybody panic, but nobody ever say a thing when they actually win games. Now, is it time to panic? I'm still inclined to say no, and the reason is these guys just haven't been playing for very long together. Now, it is a poorly fitting roster. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but they also played against a pretty good team in Australia. Australia got to the 2019 World Cup semifinals, right? So this isn't a bunch of bums. Nigeria went out and beat the brakes off of somebody yesterday, too. So, like, there is that. However, Greg Popovich, I'm not saying he sounds like he's panicking, but I am saying he sounds a little bit defensive here. Check out this last night, this exchange at the press conference.
When you make statements about, in the past, just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on.
I mean, okay, though, but be honest. Even if you're not blowing those teams out, the issue isn't that. The issue is that you're not actually winning the games against them. I think that will pick up as there is more continuity. But Greg Popovich is on the scene for the great international disaster of the 2004 Olympics. He is a Larry Brown guy. That's why he was on Larry Brown's staff, and they did an awful job. Pop hadn't done a good one yet.
Yeah, I would like to contain this to the 2020 or 2021 Tokyo Olympics and say, yes, it is time to panic about their ability to win a gold medal in this Olympics. Why? Because it's kind of a, you know, a forced Olympics, right? Right after the season's still going on in the NBA, and we've still got these players out here who just finished their season and haven't had this time together. And let's face it, look, it's not only the world has caught up thing, but the world has caught up to three-point shooting. And if you run into a hot three-point shooting team, a lot of times there's not anything you can do about it. I mean, if Gabe Vincent's pulling up against tough defense and hitting six threes against you, yeah, sometimes you're going to have to shrug your shoulders. So I do think that because this team isn't fully together, that, yeah, their chances of winning gold in Tokyo are not as great as we thought they were, because once they get past that initial round of play, it's one and done, and this can happen in the one and done stage. Australia expects to win a medal in the Olympics. France could win a medal in the Olympics, and they have the defensive player of the year on their roster. So there's going to be some hiccups there against a U.S. team that's not ready. Are we thinking, like, in the long term, do we have issues with Team USA? I don't think so. I don't think that Bam Adebayo and Kevin Love are, like, exactly the best big men we can send out there. I want to see what the world's going to do when we send Zion Williamson out there on them and see what their answer is going to be against a point center of that size. So in the long run, if they don't win a gold in Tokyo, there's going to be excuse after excuse, and it's going to be okay because the 2024 team's going to come back with a vengeance like that 2008 team and probably be fantastic. So, yeah, I think it's going to put a little bit more stress, and frankly, it's going to make these games more entertaining. I'd rather watch a two-point stressful game where the U.S. might lose than a 30-point blowout. So, yeah, I'm worried about the 2021 Olympics, but I don't think Team USA has a basketball problem.
No, and Izzy, I'm glad you brought up the 2024 games and how that looms in this scenario, because don't people remember this is how it works with USA basketball, right? In order for us to care again, like Bomani brought up, you got to have some L's mixed in the part of this. The thing that becomes interesting is the tension created by Greg Popovich when he tries to operate in reality. Like, we hear that phrase all the time, the comparison is the thief of joy. Well, here, comparison to past Olympic men's basketball teams in this country is the thief of all reality here. Yeah, Greg Popovich can say there weren't blowouts, but you happen to just beat a lot of teams by a lot of points. You can call it whatever you want. There are real logistical excuses that most of the people who tune in every 4 years to watch this product and just assume American superiority in this sphere don't want to hear. And while it might be true, saying it out loud isn't going to help your sanity in this process if you're Greg Popovich or anyone on this team. The best thing is just go about this, stick to the plan like they've talked about, because there is some merit to that, and understand that the outside world is not going to be with you on this unless there's a win in the column next to your name.
By the way, Patty Mills, does he just not like the guys that he plays with in the NBA? Because he does turn into an apparently different human being. Like, there are guys that when they get into international competition, their confidence is just so different and they look so much better. Pau Gasol used to be like that. And it was like, yo, we wouldn't have made jokes about you if you played like this in the NBA.
Should the 76ers expect to get a star back in a Ben Simmons trade?
All right, Shams Charania of The Athletic has reported, you know, all that stuff they were talking before about, nah, we're not going to trade Ben Simmons. Sounds like it was every bit of poppycock that we thought it was. The Sixers have been talking to teams about trading Simmons. They have engaged with teams about this, and they expect to get an all-star caliber player in return, which is absolutely what you should expect to get back for a 25-year-old player who's as good as Ben Simmons. Like, look, the last time we saw him, it was terrible, and it did make it basically impossible for him to go back to Philadelphia. It doesn't surprise me to find out that there are general managers that think that they're the ones who could possibly fix this. There are teams that I think would probably have a good player in exchange. CJ McCollum, for example. The thing with he and Dame Lillard next to each other has probably gone as far as it's going to go. It's worth trying and bringing in Ben Simmons and putting him in a position where Dame Lillard can handle a lot of the perimeter stuff, the ball handling, some of the playmaking. And Ben Simmons doesn't have to be some dude that gets worried about, man, what are we going to do when it's time for us to get a shot? This is going to happen in all likelihood because there's no other way for this to go. And I do think they'll get a pretty good player back for him because he is as talented as we remembered him being. He just did bum-like things recently, but that didn't have to be permanent.
No, it doesn't have to be permanent, but unfortunately that memory is permanent where you are right now. And that's exactly why what Bo said is right. They're going to be able to get someone back in exchange because I hear all of the Ben Simmons supporters who constantly point out his age, who constantly point out what he's already brought to the table ability-wise in so many ways. But you can only go so far before you can't undo the history that you've created in this one spot. And unfortunately, with him in Philadelphia, there is too much history here to try and move forward and constantly keep going back and saying, we're going to be the ones that fix you. Because now it seems like everyone on the outside there, outside of that arena, finally starting to look at Ben Simmons the way that the national group has been for a while here. But the part that really is going to drive all this is Joel Embiid, is what you saw last year when he was healthy for the vast majority of the season. More that we've been used to is the all of the tenets of a transcendent player who you need to be doing everything to capitalize on his window because he is still a transcendent player who happens to end the season injured almost every time. You can get to the mountaintop with Joel Embiid, I firmly believe, but we've seen it ain't going to be with Ben Simmons. And so you have to make those moves now out of deference to Joel Embiid and what you know you've got there.
So it definitely feels like he has to go, right? Because I remember when I first started watching Ben Simmons and realized I knew he wasn't going to shoot it very often or didn't have confidence in that shot. I remember saying to myself, or I remember saying on television, I don't really have concerns about Ben Simmons. I think that confidence will come. I think he will develop a shot. Confidence hasn't come. In fact, it went the other way. He regressed, and it seems like he's in his head. You look at last season, the way he was, just a lack of aggressiveness in the fourth quarters of playoffs games, seems like he's in his head. The positive thing is you could argue that a change of scenery is the only thing he needs because there aren't very many teams that have the Joel Embiid that you have to plant in the post. There are other teams, frankly, that just don't have that. That's the one thing that they're missing. So CJ McCollum, Bo, perfect example. You switch those two, you think it's, hey, perfect fit for both teams. That's exactly what Philly needs. It's exactly what Portland needs. I look at a team like Charlotte, right? You get back a Gordon Hayward, was once an all-star, right? Maybe a better fit for you than he is for Charlotte, and maybe you can make things work with a fun up-and-down team over there with Ben Simmons. So I definitely think you can recover his career. It has to be done now, and frankly, I do think there is some value there, but there are going to be teams that try to get him for nothing. However, if you get lucky with the CJ McCollums of the world, the Gordon Haywards, a Pascal Siakam maybe in Toronto who wants to move on, you probably can get a better caliber player than some of these Ben Simmons haters are suggesting.
Yeah, but I feel like he gonna need, like, he's like a combination of the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion at the same time. Like, I don't want to say he doesn't have heart. I don't want to say he doesn't have courage, but it does seem like he could use a little bit more. Because again, Scottie Pippen had this right. The big difference between Giannis and Ben Simmons, Giannis is not afraid of looking bad. He's not afraid of being embarrassed. And Ben Simmons seems to only want to do the things that he is good at, and that's it. And that's going to put a cap on what you are.
Are you more excited to see Shohei Ohtani hit or pitch tonight?
Okay, so I'm thinking about this like if I were an Angels fan, right? I wouldn't do that to myself. But if I were an Angels fan, I would want to watch Shohei Ohtani swing the bat like it's the seventh game of the World Series, and I want to see you pitch like it's batting practice. Like, in order for it to be exciting to watch Shohei Ohtani pitch in the All-Star game, he got to be out there, like, giving it. You know what I mean? Like, breaking them off with something. And that's kind of like a little more effort than this activity should involve from the best starting pitcher that you have on your team. So I am going to be more excited about him hitting because I know he doesn't want to go out there and get rocked. However, I just don't believe he's going to go out there and give you a first-rate pitcher performance because, quite honestly, that would be stupid.
I mean, to me, this was an easy answer here. It's to watch him hit. Not only is hitting bombs more entertaining to watch than, you know, watching a pitcher strike guys out, but this is what he's better at right now. This guy is hitting bombs. He's hit 33 of them. This is what makes him the phenom. If he had had, you know, 13 homers and is hitting about 250, we'd say, wow, look at that. This guy's a really good two-way player. We wouldn't have him starting at every position in the All-Star game. So this is all about the hitting. Heck, even Pete Alonso last night put on a show, won a second home run derby, said he's the best power hitter he believes in the world. He might be. He might be the best power hitter in the world the same way like Roger Federer was the best tennis player in the world like a year ago, because he's not going to be a couple of years ago if Shohei Ohtani keeps hitting these 500-foot bombs like he did in the home run derby. Hit six of those bad boys. That was nuts.
It was nuts. And this is a part of the reason, because I'm with you guys, it's hitting by a country mile here. But this is why I'm glad everyone involved agreed, yeah, you know what, Shohei Ohtani, he's going to go out here and start for us. He's going to be the first guy out here, because pitching is like playing in the trenches in the Pro Bowl here. Nobody's going to go out there and give actual effort, especially early, because it's the one spot you can get hurt. And if by some chance things get competitive, you save that for the guys that are coming in toward the end, which means Shohei will be long gone. And I can't believe we're considering Angels fans, who we largely have never spoken about before in public, but they can all breathe a sigh of relief knowing their guy is going to be out of harm's way early on. Hell, I'm sure they were excited he was out early after the first round of the home run derby last night, because they know, hey, listen, we're already bad at maximizing good things when we got them. We'd at least like for them to stay healthy long enough for people to keep talking about this team.
Up next on HQ.
Tampa does not deserve this type of sports success, okay? I live in South Florida my whole life. Nobody from South Florida has ever longed for Tampa. Time to play the game that is somehow still covering hockey. Do you question?
What you mean still? When do we start doing that? You give us topics and events and we question them.
Every time I'm on the show.
Do you question if the Lightning disrespected the Cup?
All right, so for the second time in about 5 months, the Tampa Bay folks have got to have another boat parade they have over the Buccaneers. And now the Lightning, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, they've had one. And apparently this happened in the course of it. Yeah, ooh, somebody put a dent in the cup, which I'm sure this is not the first time that it has happened. Ungodly things have happened to that cup. I just want to know who it was that did it, because if it was me, if I left a dent in that cup, I would have jumped in that water and swam away. Like, I am off the scene as quickly as possible after this has happened.
Just another reason to dislike Tampa. Look, don't get me started on Tampa here. Tampa does not deserve this type of sports success, okay? I live in South Florida my whole life. Nobody from South Florida has ever longed for Tampa, okay? Tampa, by the way, their newspaper just a few years ago tried to claim the Cuban sandwich as their own sandwich. What? The Cuban sandwich? I mean, come on, look. Everybody knows this is where the action is down here. Let's bring those winning teams and those trophies down here. Nobody knows who lives in Tampa. Nobody. It's like Tom Brady and nobody else.
Tom Brady and Nikita Kucherov, who was probably the one that broke this trophy. I had no idea this is going to be so deeply personal for Izzy here. The divide. I mean, listen, I know that there's the divide between the crowd, especially we saw in the first round of these playoffs with the Panthers and the Lightning, but I didn't realize it went to Cuban sandwiches.
Do you question if this makes you think less of DK Metcalf as an athlete?
All right, so DK Metcalf, the giantest wide receiver any of us have ever considered, let alone seen. We got some footage here of him a little while ago talking about what it'd be like if he was a baseball player, because he's playing in the celebrity softball game. He played in the celebrity softball game around the All-Star game. So you talk about what it would be if he was a baseball player.
What's your baseball softball background, and which player would you compare yourself to?
If I had a player to compare myself to, I would say Hank Aaron. Late Hank Aaron-ish.
Hank Aaron was like 5'11", 185 pounds or something like that. He's one of DK Metcalf's legs. Anyway, he took himself to that place. He's going to be Hank Aaron. Now let's see DK Metcalf in a celebrity softball game. Oh, we got it in Spanish. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You got Quavo stunting on you.
Are you allowed to fist pump a slow pitch strikeout? Like, I think that someone would be allowed to then, when he comes to the plate, windmill it and hit him with the baseball. I think it's
that is some confidence right there. Because what's the first thing you do when you make some fun of somebody in person, right? You kind of like run away from them a little bit in case they chase after you. If DK Metcalf chases after you, he's going to catch you. So I'm not making fun of him. You know who he looked like right there? Giancarlo Stanton. Guy who strikes out a lot, but won an MVP. You're still good, DK. Don't worry about it.
I tell you what, all this makes me think is, based on him not being able to back up those claims, we need to make sure Anthony Edwards never gets anywhere near this right now. Because I don't ever want to lose that confidence, and I don't ever want to have to get out of this Schrodinger's cat state that we're in with him right now. Keep him away from these bats. Keep my dream alive.
Do you guys want to see a second at bat?
Oh, we can do that. What?
Good take.
Huh?
Good eye.
Oh. No. I take it back. I didn't want to see this.
But wait, it gets worse. If I had known it was going to be that bad, I would have gave you the Onyx to start.
Do you question if this was a good zinger from Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is out here playing some golf, and some fans decided they wanted to talk to him.
Watch out for Justin Herbert next year. I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah. Okay, I think I understand what he meant, right? I think I know where it is that he was going. And one thing you always have to remember about Patrick Mahomes, that haircut he has, that is not the haircut of a modest man. That's just not what it is. Like, you're not about to be coming out here. Like, if we think that he's the best quarterback we've ever seen, imagine what he thinks of himself as said quarterback. Man, I think that's actually nicer than what he was really thinking, which was, who is Justin Herbert?
I want to make fun of him and say, like, ha-ha, speaking in public is difficult, right? I do it every day. But I'm pretty sure yesterday on Around the Horde, I said that something was something to sneeze at, not nothing to sneeze at. And they ran with it. So, you know, it's everybody screws up.
See, I contend that this is also just as much about the environment that he was in, right? Because this is on a football field. Patrick Mahomes gets that zinger right 10 times out of 10. But golf will humble you. This is one of the best parts about this tournament every year, is watching these guys that are otherwise great at stuff go out here and look like us at times. And so this feels like him not at home in his surroundings, because it's golf. None of us are at home in those surroundings.
He should have just stared that dude down. Like, any place where people think they just get to talk to you like that because you can't do nothing back, he should have just stopped and given him an ice grill and just seen what happened.
Really? I have to watch out for Justin Herbert next year. Why do I have to watch out for Justin Herbert next year?
Time to play the game that thinks I deserve a pat on the back for watching the Home Run Derby instead of the Bachelorette last night. See? Or no?
I don't believe you.
I thought you were going to say time to play the game that discovered lotion 5 years ago. You tell us what's on television tonight. We tell you if we're intrigued.
Streaming on Discovery Plus, Shark Week.
Jackass Shark Week is streaming on Discovery Plus. Okay, so Jackass, you remember that? They making a Jackass 4. They got a fourth one, right? So they're like 40% of the way toward Police Academy status. All right. So here we go. Jackass Shark Week.
I've done a lot of experiments in my life.
Yeah, Jasper.
This one's the dumbest.
Oh,
the scientist said this is the dumbest thing he's ever done.
Sitting there like you were born there.
Good luck, Jasper.
Oh no, what am
Whoa,
I doing?
Why he gotta be the one out there? How they decide that?
Oh, big shark coming in, right underneath you.
Let's see if he bites the scale. They've got the scent of it now, they'll bite soon.
There he is! Six is right there! Oh no, he's right there!
I gotta be honest with you. If that was my brother, if that was my son, and he died like that, I skipped the funeral. I wouldn't even go.
I mean, I was gonna say I wasn't sure that they were still doing this, but they've never done that, the jackass guys. Like, that's absolutely insane. There were literally sharks everywhere.
The one thing I kept thinking was you wouldn't be able to shoot me from that angle you were there, because if there's that many sharks around me here, I'm not going to be able to keep down lunch. Like, there's going to be some things that are going to start to happen there, because that is not a situation anyone should be put in ever by anyone they care about.
All right, that is our show. Izzy, time for a new background. Golic, what other motivational statement can we put up on your wall to make your background work? I'm looking for ideas. Clearly, I need some help.
Dogs welcome, people tolerated, Bo.